If you'd open your Bibles this morning, we'll begin in the book of Proverbs, chapter 14. Proverbs chapter 14. We're singing that hymn, "Who Died in My Place." Aren't you glad? It was like I was heading to the cross to pay for my sin and its penalty. And Jesus said, hey, Kevin, let me do that. Let me take your place. Wow, it's amazing grace that we have been saved by, that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Last week, I brought a message entitled "Ordered Steps, Walking in the Master's Path." If you were here and remember it, the positive and the blessings that come with walking with the Lord, understanding that His Word is a lamp unto our feet, a light unto our path, that we can be like Enoch. The Bible says that Enoch walked with God. Ecclesiastes talks about a relationship that is intimate. How can two walk together, Amos says, except they be agreed and us being in agreement with the Lord? Today we're going to continue in this area of study on the internal compass. The internal compass, navigating the heart's true direction. I don't know that these two are necessarily part one and part two, but they're kind of linked together. Not intentionally, just how God gave me them in order. And so I thought I'd bring them flip-flopping each other here. It's kind of like the old LPs, the old vinyl records. You had a side A and a side B. And that's what this would be, side B here. And I hope that it'll be a help, an encouragement, a blessing. And so we're going to begin talking about the internal compass here. And look with me at Proverbs chapter 14, an interesting verse. Look at verse number 14. The Bible says here, "The backslider in heart shall be filled with his own ways. And a good man," or that could even be a good man or woman, "shall be satisfied from himself." The backslider in heart, notice the next two words, "shall be filled with his own ways, and a good man shall be satisfied from himself." Let's go ahead and go to the Lord in prayer and ask his help on this lesson today. Heavenly Father, we thank you for gathering us together in your presence today to worship you on this Lord's Day. And Father, I would ask that you would prepare our hearts to receive your truth, your word. You said that your word is a lamp unto our feet, that it is a light unto our path. And today we would ask that it would shine for us, even in the deepest areas, in the hidden corners of our inner lives. And because of your great care and love, and your desire to protect us from the subtle temptation to drift, or to draw back, or to rely on our own wisdom instead of your grace, may we have ears to hear, open ears to hear your voice. May you quiet us from any distractions, planning that we're thinking on for later today, and give us the courage, dear Father, at the end of this lesson to really respond honestly with whatever you speak to our souls. I commit this whole service into your hands now, and that you and you alone would receive the glory and the honor. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. In Proverbs 14, this verse contrasts two spiritual paths. Both of these individuals in Proverbs 14 are believers. They are both people who have come to know Christ as their Savior. One is walking in the steps of the Savior, stepping in the light. And the other one may at one point in time have been doing the same thing. But something changed internally their compass and caused them to drift or go away from. And so the person that is backslidden could have been a person who was a good person walking in faith in the Lord. And that backslidden person can be restored, and we'll see that in this lesson. The person that is a good person still must take heed and be cautious and not to think that that would never happen to me. It happened to a man who the Bible says by the name of King David who had his heart was towards God. And it happened to him. And so we're all vulnerable of drifting. It begins internally and it will begin to manifest itself outwardly. So I want us to look at this contrast of these two spiritual paths and understand that the one, the beginning of verse 14, is speaking about a man who has an internal decay of backsliding taking over his life. And the deep abiding fulfillment of the other who we will classify as, at this point, a devoted believer. Again, I want to emphasize that both of them can go and become the other. When we think about our spiritual walk, we're talking about an internal compass. We're talking about a spiritual direction. When we speak of the backslider, we're talking about a spiritual regression. Regression. It means the act of going back to a previous state. He's going back to the old ways. He's allowing the flesh to take control. Before you and I receive Christ as our Savior, we fulfilled the lust of our flesh. I did in abundance as a young man. That's all I knew. And when we are saved by God's grace, we have to walk in the Spirit so that we don't fulfill the lust of our flesh. There's that battle that Paul talks about. The good that I would, I do not. And the things that I don't want to do, those things I seem to be doing. And so we see that strong battle, and every one of us, to some degree, fights that. And the only way you don't is if you check your pulse. No wonder the great apostle Paul said, I die daily. I have to crucify my flesh every single day and many times throughout the day. In this spiritual regression referred to in Scripture as backsliding, it is rarely a sudden plunge into outright rebellion. It is a slow drifting process. It can be so slow that we might not even realize that we're drifting right off. I remember as growing up in California, we go to the lakes and we would take inner tubes. Those used to be things they put in tires. We'd take and go to the gas station, see if they had any old inner tubes, and they would say, yeah, we do, and we would take them, fill them things up, go up to the lake and throw those things on the lake, and we'd go out in the lake and just sit there and lay there, and sometimes you would almost, it was so tranquil, start to doze off. And I remember dozing off one time, and I heard voices, and I woke up from my doze, and I realized I had drifted a long, long way from shore, and people were hollering at me. That can happen spiritually. spiritually. But it's more than just drifting away from the shore. It's drifting away from your Savior, who died in my place. I think we need to understand God cares deeply about the path internally, or the direction internally that we are beginning to take. When our heart turns inwardly, our directions and our desires change outwardly. And so we're going to look at this area in contrast to what we studied last week of God ordering, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. The first thing we want to consider in this lesson here today is in this, I've already given you this introduction here. Sorry about that. I should have punched on that. Is a subtle danger of the backsliding heart. The sudden danger, or the subtle danger of the backsliding heart. Forgive me, my allergies are kicking in. When we look at the word subtle, you realize the first time that it was used in Scripture was in the first part of creation. After he had created all things and everything was good, and Adam and Eve were enjoying sweet fellowship, where the Lord would come in the midst of the garden and fellowship and talk with them, that the enemy came in. The enemy being the devil, Satan, who came in the form of a serpent. And when he used the serpent, the Bible says that the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field. The word subtle means cunning, crafty, wily. And so here we see the sudden danger of the backslider in heart. The Bible tells us that there are three enemies that the Christian deals with. There's the world, and it's not talking about the world as the globe, but its influence on us. It's not a Christian influence. You can see it in our government law. You can see it in the public school system. You can see it in all the things around us, the lifestyles that are being chosen. They're not Christian. And so there's the world. Then there's, the Bible says, is the flesh, the old man. And then there's the devil. I want you to understand that a lot of times, I remember you read about, or a long time ago, when there used to be a lot more bank robberies. A lot of times when a bank was robbed of its savings and its money, one of the first things law enforcement would do is evaluate how it took place to find out if it was an inside job. Was there someone in this crime who committed a part of the crime, who gave assistance to those that were outside on the inside? So we have the outside of the world influence, which, by the way, that's very strong. It took a man who was walking and fellowshipping and being mentored by the great apostle Paul. It was the world that got him. Demas has forsaken me, having loved it present world. He turned and walked away from Christ and Christianity for the present world. So we have that outside influence. We have the devil who is on the outside. And even though the Bible says that greater is he that is in you, the Holy Spirit, than he that is in the world, he still has power and influence. And the only way he can actually get in if there is an inside job. And that's your flesh. Listening as Adam and Eve did. It was an inside job. He was just the deceiver, and they wanted to fill a desire. A person may still attend church and be not walking with God. They may be still performing special duties, if you can use that term. They can appear like they're in a right relationship with God, righteous to others, while internally retreating and going away from God. You have a parable of a caring, loving father and a prodigal son. Before that young man came to his father and said, "Give me my inheritance," and he went out, and we know the story, right? And he spent all of his living on riotous living and ended up in the pigsty. I want to tell you that before that action ever took place, there was already an internal change that took place. His leaving his father and leaving what was secure and peaceful and going out and living according to the world's influence, there was something that took place before that parable ever had the conversation of the father and the son. Very open. But if you remember, there was a second son, the older son, and in the return of the younger son being right with God, praise the Lord, you can return, amen. You can come back. The first son came back with nothing. The second son was still there and was enjoying everything. "I've been here with my father. I've been doing all this. I've never left." And yet we see within his heart that there had been a drift as well. So you can either be gone and be out of church. There are a lot. Who knows how many people out of fellowship with God, and they're out of the church. That's where it took them. And they're paying dividends, because the law of sowing and reaping always happens. And then there are those that can be in the church and still performing and not be right. And so we have to guard ourselves. It's interesting, the Hebrew word for backslider is the word sug, S-U-G. It literally means to draw back, to go back, to retreat. It visualizes two different types of settings. The first setting that this word in the Hebrew sug means, it visualizes a soldier who is retreating from the battle line. He's there. He's a soldier. The Bible says that we are to be good soldiers, right, of Jesus Christ. This pictures a soldier who's at the battle line and his heart changes, and instead of fighting and standing, he turns and goes. During the Civil War days, there was a term that was used for that. They called them turncoats. A backslider is a turncoat. They turn their backs and go away. That's the first meaning of a backslider. But the sad thing is that you're not turning your back on the enemy, you're turning your back on God, who is on your side, who actually you're on his side. The other one is someone who intentionally steps backwards away from a known and designated path. They know exactly the choice they're making. It's not a choice in ignorance without knowledge. They are making a known decision that I'm turning away from the God of truth. His word will not make my decision. I will not walk in his will, because there's a desire that they've yielded to, whether it's the world or whether it's the devil holding out the temptation. The Hebrew word is important to understand. The backslider, because there's a second Hebrew word that goes with the word backslider, in heart. Heart. It's the word leb. The word leb, when we speak of the heart, is talking about the mind and the intellect in this case. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. We're to be in the area of Paul talks about bringing into captivity every thought that goes against the teachings of Christ. You have to bring them down. The root for this is selfishness, or even better yet, self-will. Self-will. Did you notice what Jesus said when he was praying many times? Not my will, but thine be done. Self-will. Listen to what one commentator said that I came across. Backsliding grows when our desires and comforts become more important than obeying God's word and God's will. Listen to some scripture references, because this is not a new thing. It was happening in the Old Testament well before we arrived on the scene. In the minor prophet Hosea, Hosea chapter 11 and verse 7, listen to what he says, and God is speaking. Listen to what God says. My people are bent. The word bent here means that they are determined, they are set on, and they are manifesting a morally crooked and corrupt mindset. My people are bent to backsliding from me. Though they called them to the Most High, none at all would exalt him. That one kind of caught me off. I grasped the first part. My people are determined to backsliding from me. Then it says, though they called them to the Most High, none at all would exalt him. There's another party that comes in here. You have the people that are determined to be backslidden, but there are those that are calling them. God sent prophets to Israel trying to call them back. We sing that hymn, come home, come home. Ye that are weary, come home. And even as the prophet was calling the people back to God, it says they would not exalt him. Paul tells us, listen, in 1 Corinthians 10, verse 12, wherefore, let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. You and I, every one of us, men, women, young, old, new Christians, seasoned Christians, are all vulnerable. There are men of God today, good, who preached the Word of God solidly and faithfully for years, who have yielded to this. They've let their heart drift while they're still in the pulpits preaching and still living contrary to Scripture inwardly, that finally caught up with them outwardly, and they're being arrested because they're not just stepping over biblical principles. They're even breaking the laws of man that will send them to prison for years. You know why they did that? They thought they stood. Let him that thinketh he stand take heed. They thought that they were safe, that they weren't going to be one of the people that are caught. It is for sure your sin will find you out. Always remember, there is a law, and a law, like the law of gravity, you can't alter or change. Well, there's the law of the harvest. Whatsoever a man sows, that shall he reap. So if I plant a kernel of corn, I sow it here, it's coming up in a different season. It doesn't just go in and come up. It's going to come up in a different season. And not only is it going to come up, but it's going to bring up much more kernels of corn. It's going to bring two or three or four ears on that one and hundreds of kernels. So what you're sowing will come later and it will be multiplied. And if you've sown to the flesh, you will reap the flesh. If you sow to to the Spirit, you will reap spiritual blessings as well. So understand the law of the harvest is bad if you're sowing to the flesh. It is good if you're sowing to the Spirit. Because that law doesn't change. It's going to cover both of those areas. In Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 1, he says, therefore, now this was interesting. As I read these things, all of a sudden I'll read them over and I'll read them over and I'll read them over. And then little things will stand out. And the writer of Hebrews, nobody knows for sure who it is. I think it's the Apostle Paul, personally. But whoever it is, they included themselves. It'd be like me up here preaching and understanding that I could fall too. I'm including myself from the pulpit to the pew. I'm not up here preaching that it's going to happen to you guys and, well, you know, look, I'm already elevated, right? That's wrong thinking. And so the writer here who's writing, listen, he is writing the book of Hebrews under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. And he says, therefore, we ought to give a more earnest heed to the things which we have heard. Why? Lest at any time we should let them slip. So you can be used by God, filled with His Spirit, to even record the Scriptures, the preserved Word of God, and He was still concerned that I could do this myself. I could let these things that I'm even writing about slip away. That is the subtlety of backsliding. That's how it works. It's so trickery. It's such an amazing way it does. Now let's look at the next one here. This is the consequences of being filled with His own ways. When we think about the word consequences or consequence, it is defined as the effects, the results, the outcome, listen, of something that occurred earlier. It is the outcome. All of a sudden, here's where it's at. It's happening. We're living it. We're seeing the outcome and the results. It didn't just come upon us. Why am I always having this problem? Maybe it was something that you sowed back here. I shared this a long time ago. We went down to Florida one time for a visit with our son and stuff down there. And there was a huge storm that came in. So they were getting everybody out of the Pensacola area. And so it's crazy traffic going out. And so I told Althea, I'm going to go get our car filled up so we can get out of here. I get there, and the gas stations, people are backed up everywhere, waiting to get their cars filled up so they can get out before the storm. I'm waiting, and everybody is operating correctly. They're waiting on each other, taking turns, da-da-da-da. This car was right here, and I'm next to go in line. Everybody understands that. And as I start to, he pulls out, as I start to go forward to pull in, a guy pulls in with a truck pulling a trailer, and he rolls down his window, and he says, excuse me, he goes, would you let me pull up to your pump first so that I can back up to get this set straight? I said, no problem. He pulls up where it's at my pump, and then he turns his truck off and gets out. I said, that's not what you just told me. So I asked the question. I thought, hey, I thought you said you were going to back up. He goes, too bad. Okay, I don't like that. I want to go over and hose him down with gas. All right? The guy that would be following me saw what happened, and his place opened up, so he signaled me, come over here, I'll follow you. Thanks. Now I'm right across the pump from that guy, and that guy won't even look at me. And get back home. We make it home safe. I'm at the barber shop. Trimming my hair. Well, what's been going on lately? I told him about we had to flee the storm and all that, and I told him about the incident, you know. It's amazing. Vector cutting your hair. It's amazing how people will do things like that. I said, yeah. I said, well, you know, the old saying, whatever you sow, you're going to reap, you know. And I said, I'm sure that guy will reap the consequences of what he sowed. All of a sudden, he stopped cutting my hair. I'm like, maybe he's changing the blade or something. He walks around and gets right in front of me. He goes, that law is true. It makes me wonder, what did you sow to have him do that to you? And I started looking back on my life and said, man, there's a lot more coming, that means. When an individual, and by the way, let me say this. I, in my first 5 years, about the fifth year, somewhere in there, of my new life in Christ, I backslid for about a year. And I was the most miserable person. The most miserable people are Christians that are not right with God. And when you're miserable and out of fellowship with God, I'll guarantee you one of your main objects is to make anybody around you that you love miserable. That's my wife. When an individual turns away from the Lord, and believe it or not, they are allowed by God to pursue the things they think will make them happy. Happy, happy, happy. God will let you pursue it. Go ahead. If you know I've given you truth, I've given you light, if you want to pursue it the other way, do it. He did it with the prodigal. He allowed him, the father allowed him to go. However, this ultimately leads to spiritual sickness, dryness, emptiness, and as I made mention, misery. In Psalm 106, if you're taking notes, in Psalm 106, verse 15, listen to what it said. God is referring, the writer of Psalms is referring back to Israel in the wilderness. And he writes something that's very important. And he, God, gave them their request. You guys want quail? You're complaining about the manna? And you want quail? What did he give them? Their request. But it says, but sent leanness unto their soul. You want the physical? You can have it. I'll give it to you. The Bible says that they had, there's so much fill of it that they were, it was coming out their nostrils. Now, I don't want to be sick. That means they were throwing up. How many of you love throwing up? Anybody here? Just, I want to find out. I mean, somebody should bottle that stuff and sell it, right? Oh, I think I feel like a swig of that. No, you don't like it. How many of you, and this is kind of sick, but how many of you ever thrown up and had it come out your nose? And the burning. And the nastiness. And you have to blow your nose and corn's coming out, you know? Listen, what I'm trying to get across, I know it's kind of comical, but that's what they wanted. And God says, I'll give it to you. I'll let you have it. He will let you have it to teach you a lesson. To teach me a lesson. I was talking with Althea about a word I come across. And we get into the word to satiate, to take in something that is sufficient. But then there's the word insatiate. Insatiate. And that means that you're not satisfied. You want more. The word insatiate, when we talk about sin, they had a backslider in heart. There is an insatiation for sin. There, it's not enough. Matter of fact, the word insatiate gets into the area of feeding, filling, gorging oneself, gluttonous, and indulgent. Having your fill of your own ways mean experiencing the natural destructive consequences with it. Don't let that be forgotten. Once you start in the path of sin, your appetite will not be satisfied. There are men who have been destroyed. They've lost everything. They've lost their families. They lost their children because they could not get enough and gorged himself with pornography. That wasn't enough. They had to go to other things. Sin, they say, sin will take you farther than you want to go, keep you longer than you want to stay, and it will cost you more than you have to spend. No wonder God, as a caring, loving God, is saying, don't do it. Don't leave me. When a heart of a Christian retreats, when it retreats to its own ways, God allows that person to experience the heavy weight, the emptiness. David said when he had sinned, he wrote in the Psalms, God's hand was heavy upon him, and his mouth was dried up like a potsherd. That person will experience those things because of self-reliance. Listen to what Jeremiah 2:19 says. Jeremiah, being used by God to bring Israel back, listen to what he says. God is speaking. God says this, thine own wickedness shall correct thee. When you're in that direction away from God, God says, I'm going to use that to correct you. So if today you are at any stage of backsliding in heart, you may be considering it. You may have turned but haven't taken the step. You may be way down the road in it already. And you're going deeper and deeper in it. He says, that's what I will use to correct you. Correction, God is saying, is coming. Correction is coming. Just like if you're doing the right thing with God, reward is coming. Blessings are coming. Thine own wickedness shall correct thee, and thy backslidings shall reprove thee. Now watch what he says here. Know, therefore, and see that it is an evil thing and bitter that thou hast forsaken the Lord thy God. When you begin the beginning stages of backsliding, he says, that's an evil thing, that's a wicked thing, that's a bitter thing. To turn and forsake the Lord your God. Isaiah 57, verse 17. I'm trying to give you as many verses of Scripture to understand how vital this is to catch. He says, for the iniquity of his covetous was I angry and smote him. Now watch. Not only is he instructing you and correcting you, but listen to what he says here. I hid me. God said, I hid me and was angry and went on, and he went on frowardly in the way of his heart. He continued his backsliding even then. Now let me wrap this up here real quick here. The contrast with the good man. In direct opposition to backsliding, the faithful believer seeks direction from above. His word is a lamp unto his feet. His delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law does he meditate day and night. The good man finds satisfaction. The good woman finds satisfaction not in worldly pursuits, not in self-reliance, but in complete, total surrender. No wonder Paul says, I beseech you, I beg of you, that you'd offer your bodies as a living sacrifice. Total surrender. Are you totally surrendered to God today? True joy and inward treasure and peace is rooted in God through Jesus Christ. But whosoever, Jesus said, but whosoever drinketh of the water that I give him shall never thirst. He'll never be dissatisfied with me. So Proverbs 14:14 serves as both a solemn warning and a gracious encouragement. The laws of sowing and reaping go on both sides of the fence. Spiritual restoration, if you're needing restoration today, spiritual restoration is recognizing, number one, that you have drifted. Two is repenting, acknowledging that to God. And three is renewing your devotion to Him and Him alone. It takes in Psalm 139 asking God, search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my... Is there any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting? It's asking God to do the search. And then the rededication of Paul of offering your body as a living sacrifice. Listen to Hosea 14:4 concerning this area of comfort and restoration. And there's a couple of things. First, we see this is a declaration from God. God is saying this to any of us today. I will heal their backsliding. I will love them freely. For mine anger is turned away from him. God wants you to come home. He goes, I'll heal them of that. I will love them. My anger that I have will be turned away. Now listen to Jeremiah 3:22. God is bringing an invitation now. He's already made the declaration of what he'll do for us. Then he gives them an invitation. Return, ye backslidden children. And I will heal your backsliding. So you have the declaration, you have the invitation, and then you have, in that same verse, the restoration. Behold, we come unto thee. For thou art the Lord, our God. David said in Psalm 51, verse 10 through 12, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. Where are you at today, folks? I know you're physically here. Where are you at in your heart? Let's stand. We'll have a word of prayer. Brother Tim will come, lead us in an invitation. And I think an invitation is a good one for today. You know me. I'm not a person that cries and pleads and asks you to come forward. That's not me. Never will be. It's got to be you yielding to the voice that God's speaking to you. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we come before you today, and I pray with humble hearts, acknowledging that you see way past our outer actions, and you look directly into our internal motives. Lord, your word has been held up today. It's been a mirror to our souls. And Father, we confess that it is easy to let our hearts draw back, to drift, to quietly retreat to our own ways. Father, may you forgive us for the times that we have tried to find satisfaction in the things of the world, secret compromises, whatever it may be. Right now, during this time of invitation, I would ask, Father, that if anyone in this room whose heart has drifted, if they've taken those steps backwards, convict them, dear Father, gently through your Spirit. Draw them back to you. Break any holds that fruit that they're beginning to sow, bitter fruit. Break any holds that it would not continue, that you would bring it to a stop. Heal any backslider's heart. As you said, you will love them freely. Restore your joy back unto them. Take away that dry, empty Christian life today. Create clean hearts in us. Renew our spirits. And Father, we ask these things for your glory and for the good of your people. In Jesus' mighty name, we pray these things. Amen.